Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Today, we have some beef to squash. We are settling every debate in the Nintendo fan community once and for all. Are you ready?
I am ready. A lot of times we'll see something happening, some ridiculous conversation happening on the internet, and it's like, what? I got something to say about this. And sometimes it's not a big enough thing for us to build like a whole episode or a whole video around, but we got like 5 of these today that we're going to do kind of rapid fire debate style. Just get these takes off. I think we'll all feel a lot better.
I think so, too. Although, we both picked sides, but I don't know if the side represents my actual feelings. I just picked the side that I thought would be most fun to talk about. So
here we go with the disclaimers
my
already.
My actual feelings? You'll never know. Just kidding.
The disclaimers have already begun. I got it. Okay. Fine.
Why? Did you pick a side that you think is that you actually feel is how you think?
I was going to wait a little bit longer to do my disclaimer, but yes.
So you didn't pick a side that is how you actually feel.
It's like a professional lawyer. Sometimes you just get called in to represent something that maybe you might have to put your personal feelings to the side. So
defend the criminal that murdered his entire family?
We'll see.
Is that what you're saying?
We shall see. That's all I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying? That you would do that?
I'm not a lawyer, so I'll never have to do that. Anyway, you are not here. You are elsewhere.
No, I'm not.
July is vacation, among many things. It's vacation month for us, and now it's your turn.
Yeah, you've been on vacation. I am on vacation right now in the Outer Banks. So it's really nice. You can see I'm in like a beach house. So we got to get this done so I can go back to the beach.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Priorities.
Really nice here. Really nice. Priorities are I need to go back to the beach.
We are back from San Diego Comic-Con last week, which was an incredible time. We were there seeing the show and doing our big 100K subscriber celebration. And guess what? We recorded all of that. And it is in the latest Super Kit and Krista 64 vlog, which is out now.
Whoa.
Check it out. Why don't you?
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con is probably one of our favorite shows just because it's very different than other conventions. And this one, you know, it's like the perfect mix of like, it's in the summertime. San Diego is so beautiful. It's like by the water. And then you have this great convention that just feels really like, I don't know, it just feels fun and celebratory. And you can see people from all different fandoms kind of gather together to share their passion with each other. And it's just a cool vibe at Comic-Con. So hopefully we captured it for you in the vlog, because it's definitely one of the things we look forward to a lot during the year is like, oh, summer. It's like when you think about summertime, you think about Comic-Con San Diego, you know? So
yeah, I've been reading this book that is about the history of Comic-Con and goes back like, you know, 50 years, and they interviewed a lot of the people who were involved. It's very interesting that through the years, everybody has kind of come to the same conclusion that we have, which is like there's just something very unique and special about the combination of like being around like-minded people, being in this great San Diego summertime setting. It's very, very unlike other shows, other conventions that we go to. Sometimes we get asked like, if you guys like Comic-Con, you should go to New York Comic-Con. It's like,
we don't like New York Comic-Con.
It's not exactly the same.
It's like the complete opposite, honestly. It's like gritty New York City in the winter. It's like in October, right, usually. And we've been to New York Comic-Con a number of times, and it just doesn't feel the same to us. Like, no offense to the people that love New York Comic-Con, but Comic-Con for us, I think, is definitely summertime in San Diego. And you're just like, it's like that vibe with all those outdoor, you know, the big outdoor installations that people do, and that whole downtown area just feels like it's one big show. You see people dressed in these incredible costumes. It's just like, it's like overwhelmingly feels like a fun summer block party almost. And I just love it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, now that we're back, we are back on our Nintendo Direct watch, and we are actually recording and releasing this podcast to try and get ahead of that. So we're not going to be talking about it here. We got other things to talk about, but I think we're both assuming this is happening this week based on what the usual suspects are saying. So we'll have a prediction, our usual reaction, all separate from this, but I'm getting excited for this.
I am still keeping my expectations tempered until I see the official announcement from Nintendo, obviously. I mean, all of it lines up. It feels right. You know, again, like you were saying, the usual suspects have been out there corroborating the direct rumors, but I definitely... Nintendo has done some crazy, weird things in the last couple of months, and they are in a bit of a different place, you know, with Switch 2 just being out for a couple months, and they still want to support Switch 1 stuff. I mean, obviously, we still have a lot of questions about some of the games coming out later this year that they need to answer in some way, shape, or form. But we'll see. They've done some out of the ordinary kinds of things. So I won't be getting my hopes up for anything or getting excited until I see the official the official announcement.
All right.
Also, why do they have to do it while I'm on vacation?
Well, that's the way that these things happen. They know.
Please. They wanted me to not be at the beach, which is annoying.
Last week in our podcast, we talked about like, oh, the timing for something is interesting because you're kind of getting close to September. I now have a theory about the timing that I will not be sharing here. I'll be sharing that in the prediction.
Oh, the predictions video.
So again, we'll see if I'm right or not. But I over the weekend, I was like, oh, okay, I think I might be on to something here.
Okay. I'm interested in this big theory of yours.
Yes.
You galaxy brained.
Might be something to that.
This.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, recently, so we put out our Cyberpunk 2077 spoiler cast, and at the very end of that, we had a hot mic moment debating whether we should say what the August spoiler cast game is, and we are here to tell you that it's Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Are you going to say it?
That's my drum roll.
maybe not last time I get to do this.
Yes. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. We are both, I think, getting close to the end of the game. I know I'm in deep spoiler territory.
I think I'm
going to finish it tonight, actually.
Okay.
That's all that we have been playing. So we're actually not going to do a games we're playing segment in this podcast because I don't feel comfortable actually talking about anything that's happened lately in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But we'll save it all for the spoiler cast.
I just wanted to make sure that, like, you could have a proper spoiler cast discussion of, like, yeah, I sure did punch through some walls. And now I'm like, no, there's definitely enough there.
Yeah. Even beyond, you know, usually we pick very story-heavy games, obviously, for spoiler cast. But even beyond not having, you know, it does have a story, but it's not as heavy as other, like, RPGs or whatever. There's still so much, like, world-building mechanics, characters, so much that we have, you know, that we can talk about in a spoiler cast. So I wasn't worried from the beginning, and I wanted to announce it at the end of the Cyberpunk spoiler cast, but you were not ready to do that for some reason. So I'm glad you came around on a little DK there, because, yeah, I was like, this is a pretty obvious to me. I don't know why you were hesitant about this.
Well, hopefully you can come around and finish the game. That's a first step of doing,
I'm doing great.
A spoiler cast. Okay.
I am doing great.
All right. We'll get to where I am and then we'll reconvene our forum.
Well, I think we should I think we should stop talking to each other about it starting this moment, because usually we talk to each other about games like every day, but when we get close to spoiler cast recording time, we usually stop so we can save all that discussion for the spoiler cast. So let's just make an agreement right now that we will no longer be talking to each other about Donkey Kong.
Good. I didn't want to talk to you anyway.
I don't want to talk to you either.
Deal.
Great.
Enough of that. Let's move on to our big segment for the week, which is rapid fire debating hot topics in the Nintendo fan community. Again, we've got how many? What do we got? Five of these?
We came up with actually way more than five, but we like shortened it to five.
Oh yeah. We had like, I mean, look, there's any shortage of conversations happening. Sometimes more ridiculous than the next, but yes, we whittled it down to five and we both picked a side to argue. And again, whether this represents our true feelings or not, you'll have to use your own powers of deduction to find out. I can't say.
Ooh, mystery.
But the first topic that we are debating is, Nintendo has done huge damage to the industry by introducing $80 games. And you are arguing the side that is for this statement.
Yes.
So take us away, please.
Yeah, so Nintendo introduced the first ever like base game $80 game with Mario Kart World, obviously, and it became a huge controversial topic for Nintendo, which overshadowed, I would say, some of the positive things about Nintendo Switch. So it kind of like, you know, the reaction was so bad that it actually sort of, you know, not ruined, but definitely did some damage to their own big hardware launch and their own brand. And the thing that is interesting about this topic is like the industry is not just Nintendo. The games industry is much bigger than that. But Nintendo is oftentimes looked to as the example because of how they have been in the industry for a long time. They're like one of the leading companies in the industry, obviously. And so a lot of other gaming companies look to Nintendo as an example on whether or not they can or can't do something. And this was a pretty bad example that Nintendo set in terms of introducing this kind of price jump in games. And I think that there is an argument to be made that, you know, games, developing games is getting more expensive. You have to recoup the cost in some way. But there also needs to be variety in terms of pricing. Like, I think the damage that they've done is that they have now increased the upper ceiling so much that now the lower ceiling is too high for a lot of people to get into video games. And you're basically like locking out an entire population of people that wouldn't be able to afford to do this. So yeah, I think this is like an irreversible thing that Nintendo has done to the industry by introducing this kind of price model. And I feel like the thing that people are going to be doing is taking really advantage of this and taking advantage of people and like giving them a really limited option of like, if you want to buy this game, it's going to cost you this much. And some people just can't afford it. So it's really unfortunate.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely agree with you on one point, which is that Nintendo did a really, really, really bad job of introducing all of this. You remember, you know, when this first came out, we had to hunt for the information. It was just kind of buried. And I was like, oh, it's $80. Okay, I wonder why. And we never really got a proper explanation. So I'll grant you that. They did a very poor job of setting this up, explaining why, getting people to come around to their side for this. But I think that they are really taking the lead in doing something that will be a big long-term positive for the industry. And again, you know, they're kind of the one company in the industry who's not afraid of the backlash. They deal with backlash all the time. We know how they deal with it. They just wait it out. And I think they had the guts to do something that the rest of the industry wanted to do, had been thinking about doing, but just couldn't get over the mountain to do it. So I want to ask you a question. Do you think that it costs the same amount of money to make a game today as it did in, say, 2005? Because That's how long these games have been at $60. So I just want to ask you that question to start.
Well, I did say in my argument that game development is getting more expensive, but we need variation in development timelines, cost, and then the ultimate price of the game. But if you raise the ceiling like this, then other people will take advantage of it and only make games at this price. Because they're like, well, if I develop an expensive game, I can sell it for more, and that's more lucrative to me. So you lose a lot of variation in pricing because you raise the ceiling.
Okay. You know, I think we'll see that the market will just the invisible hand of the market, as you learn in your college economics textbook. I feel like that will kind of decide, like the market will decide what can tolerate being an $80 game or not. We have something in our news section today about Xbox trying it, giving it a couple weeks of seeing what people think, and then pulling back on that. So I don't think it's a case where you can just get away with, oh, great, well, now the price of every game is $80. I think people, you know, can do the math in their mind and push back. And I think in the case of Mario Kart, there was some like, well, I don't like it. I don't want to pay $80 for it, but maybe there's some reason. And frankly, maybe we don't even know yet the reason why Mario Kart is $80. Maybe we'll have to wait and hear about kind of the long-term support plans. And when I say long-term, I do mean long-term. I mean for the next, you know, potentially decade. But you and me, of our a lot of podcasts over the last couple of years, we talked about watching the industry crumble before our very eyes. And I think a lot of the reason is, you know, for these companies who want to make a bigger game, they've not had these options in terms of doing pricing at anything more than for outside Nintendo, it was $70. And even then, for them, the economics of that was a little bit dicey. So now this gives them different options. And I don't buy your argument that, oh, well, you know, everything's going to be that much. It's like, well, Nintendo talked about having variable pricing. If you're going to have variable pricing, you need to have a high and a low. So this just gives them more options. We haven't seen a lot of the variable pricing on the low end. They haven't released that many games yet. You know, is releasing Donkey Kong for $70? Is that variable pricing? That game, in terms of quality, gosh, that game's quality is through the roof. So I think that's one way of looking at it, which is just, you know, this is something that the industry needed for the people who are making the very high games. It's not for everybody, but for the people who are making the game with the budget that's, you know, in the hundreds of millions of dollars that we hear about. And it's like, oh my gosh, how is this ever going to be a successful business venture? That's going to help them. And then you have this whole other category of games like Mario Kart, where you literally could play it forever. There's no ending. You don't finish it. A lot of time, you don't get that feeling of like completion like you do with, for example, a Donkey Kong Bonanza. So if you have a game that your audience is just going to play forever and maybe never feel like they need to buy another game, are they not justified in charging just a little bit more to make up for that? Of gosh, I'll sell you this game, but maybe I'm doing myself a bit of damage because I didn't build in some sort of an ending. Don't punish me for that. Back to the point of how many games are going to be at this $80 price tag. How many games do you think over the lifetime of the Switch 2 will be at $80?
Well, I think the problem is exactly within the question that you're asking, is that there's no standardization right now. They introduced this price point, this very high price point, without any sort of standardization of what type of game is going to be at this higher price. And so now the industry has run wild and have made up their own criteria of which games are $80 and which games aren't. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, why is Donkey Kong $70 and Mario Kart $80? Why is Clair Obscura $50 and Mario Kart $80? Why is out, you know, what? Why are these?
Sounds like that's variable pricing in action.
Well, it seems like there's no industry standard. And if you introduce this new thing, there should be some kind of standard. And I think the other problem is the game itself. Mario Kart is the shiny example of an $80 game is really a bad example of that. Because like you said, this is a incomplete game. This is a game that Nintendo hopefully will be supporting and adding content to throughout the next decade, like they've done with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. But with that model, you're adding paid DLC. So the price even goes up from there. If they were concerned about like, oh, well, this is a game that you play forever, you may as well just adopt the Fortnite model and have it be microtransactions then, because that's more palatable for people. I'll just pay for what I want. I don't need to pay the base price to even get in the door, you know? So there's like many issues here. There's an issue of like non-standardization of pricing and what criteria are the $80 games boxes that they're checking. And secondly, it's like, well, the argument around, you know, a game that you play forever, there's so many examples of that now. People, Roblox, Fortnite, games that people are playing forever, but they have a different way of doing a price model for that that seems honestly more palatable for people that like to play those kinds of games for a long period of time. And then if you charge DLC for Mario Kart later, then you're looking at $100, $120, $150, $200. How much are you paying for Mario Kart over the course of that decade? It's going to be insane. It's like, I've paid $500 for this game.
Can you fill me in on the paid DLC plans for Mario Kart? I think I've forgotten what they are. Can you fill me in?
Well, you know it's coming.
Can you fill me in?
But you know it's coming.
This is a boogeyman. This is the boogeyman.
But you're honestly saying that you think Nintendo will do free DLC for Mario Kart? You honestly put that out there? That's incorrect. That's factually incorrect.
Well, that's actually an interesting that's another debate that we could have had, which is, would the backlash be worse if Mario Kart was $80 or if they took the Fortnite model of being free to play and everything is just a microtransaction?
That's not the debate we're having.
but that's kind of an interesting one to have, which is what would people actually be more mad about? You talked about the industry running wild. Where are the other $80 games? Microsoft tried it and they got slapped on the wrist so hard. They said, okay, we're actually not doing it for that game and we're not doing it for the rest of the year. Even Call of Duty is not going to be $80. They said that much. They got slapped on the wrist. So I think people, it's just like,
yeah, that's
like
the damage that Nintendo did. That's an perfect example of the damage. They learned a lesson. That Nintendo did. They damaged Microsoft by making them think they can do an $80 game, and then they couldn't, and it was really damaging to their brand. I mean,
great, they hurt their competitor. Sounds like a big win to me. You didn't answer my question. Over the life of the Switch 2, will there be more or less than 10 $80 games?
I think there will be 10 $80 games.
You don't believe that.
I do believe that.
You don't believe
and
that.
And also, you paid $100 for Donkey Kong because you bought the Amiibo, so...
I did gladly. It's right here.
They're giving you $80 games proudly. In so many different ways. They'll make you spend way more than $80 in so many different ways. Just open your wallet. They're a billion-dollar company. They do not need to charge you this.
You're ducking a lot of my points. So I think should move on to our next debate because I think
you're going to move on to the next one. Got it.
I have a secret stopwatch that I'm using here.
Okay.
Next. The second point is Nintendo's control freak tendencies will lead to their downfall. It's funny to read out loud. I am doing the argument for this. So I will get us started. And okay. I would like to start by referencing the all-time classic, very important piece of music from the early 80s called Hang On Loosely. By the band 38 Special. Maybe you've heard of them from various VH1 One Hit Wonders programming, if you've seen it. It goes, hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control.
Ooh.
Oh, prophetic, wouldn't you say? So we've seen this happen before our very eyes. We really saw this happen when we worked there around like 2019, early 2020, heading into the pandemic, they're going down a dangerous path of alienating their most passionate fans. And I think we need to look at, like, not a lot of companies in the realm of entertainment are doing this anymore. This doesn't really line up with the way that entertainment is consumed by its fans in the year of 2025 and beyond. Having everything on lockdown, shutting things down, suing people, all of this. This is they're kind of in their own, you know, box. And other people recognize, like, you know, fans want to be able to put their own spin on things that they love. They want to have a tighter connection with things that they love. They want to be in the play box with all of the IP that they hold so close to their heart. So, you know, Nintendo's a company that's supposed to be about fun, but there's really nothing very fun about the way that the company operates outside of actually making and releasing a game. And all these, you know, all those games that you mentioned before in our last argument, Minecraft, Fortnite, Roblox, they're all showing that this is the way of the future. But if you talk to people in the industry, they're quaking in their boots about these games. It's like, well, why is that? Because they've discovered this new paradigm of how people want to interact, be involved, be connected to the games that they play, the IP that they love. And gosh, that's why all these IP holders are just flocking to these games to do these partnerships. Like literally everything is in Fortnite. We're seeing Roblox doing these new IP partnerships because they want to get a piece of that pie. It's like, yes, make games in the spirit of this other game. So again, like, you know, maybe they're able to hold out now, but long term, you really wonder at some point, is this all going to come crumbling down? And, you know, you can, from Nintendo's point of view, like you can crack down, but you're really just, you know, plugging the holes in the wall. What's that thing? The dam of whatever you're trying to, you're putting your fingers, you're putting your toes in the wall and the leaks just keep coming. It makes me think of another quote. I came ready with the quotes for this one. Remember our beloved Andor? There's a great scene where one of the on the rebel side, they talk about they had a personal manifesto about battling the Empire that I'm just going to read a short excerpt from. The need for control is so desperate because it's unnatural. It requires constant effort. It breaks. It leaks. It's brittle. It's the mask of fear. You can see the fear.
I love that part of the Andor too.
I can't lose with a quote from Andor.
You can't lose. You can't.
So it's like you're playing whack-a-mole with all of these different things that you don't like that people are doing. But does that stop them? No. In some cases, it makes them even bolder. So, and then just lastly, like if Nintendo's so worried and so scared about losing this next generation of video game players, remember all the pushes that we did with kids? And it was like, oh my gosh, we got to ramp up our efforts with kids. It's like, is this really the way to do this? Like, you're such an outlier now in how kids approach IP. You gotta loosen up. That's my closing argument. Loosen up.
All right. Loosen up in two quotes. From
Listen to some 38 special kids.
38
you'll
special.
You'll be better for it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it was a great idea for Darth Vader to be shouting racial slurs in Fortnite?
I think that's an extreme edge case.
But it happened.
It did.
But it happened. And it was a terribly detrimental thing for both brands involved.
Disney stock price. Disney basically went out of business because of that.
Yeah.
They're not around anymore.
Fortnite.
I can't believe it.
Whoa.
That's why we're not getting any more Andor.
Oh, so sad. But yeah, I think that is the fear that Nintendo has. And it's very grounded. It's a very, important thing for them to focus on is protection of their IP. Their most valuable resource that they have is their IP. And we've seen them, you know, in the 90s being very cavalier with their IP. And then we saw the things that came out of that kind of attitude with awful movies, terrible Zelda CDI games, losing control completely of their most valuable resource, and then having to rebuild that brand equity back because you've lost it with your fans because you have been, you know, so careless with it. And I think they learned a very hard lesson, and that's why they are at the quality level that everybody in the games industry and in the entertainment industry really strives to be at. And that doesn't come just out of nowhere. It comes from your absolute 100% constant vigilance. Your Andor quote is perfect because, yeah, it is unnatural because, you know, you shouldn't you know, naturally you'll want to just like let everybody engage and have a good time, but you can't trust people. So it is unnatural, but it's needed for them to be able to control and protect their most valuable resource. And if they lose it, the company literally will go out of business. It will go away. So is it worth it for your company to completely go out of business for somebody to draw some fan art of Mario? I would say no. I would say no. Like, you want a Bowsette drawing instead of a successful company?
Yes, I do.
I would say no.
I do.
Whilst that makes it not very fun, I think they should be protecting their most valuable resource at all costs. Like, if you had one thing that you cared about the most, you definitely will be protecting that at all costs.
You're really going wild with the fear-mongering here, which is, oh,
I'm
my
not.
Gosh.
These are things that literally factually happened.
Companies are running wild with $80 games. Oh, my
this
gosh.
This happened.
Disney went out of business, and Nintendo's next. Oh, my gosh. This is
this happened. Racial slurs in Fortnite from Darth Vader. That's a factual thing that happened.
Maybe you're one of these people who likes being under somebody's thumb. I think maybe that's something that I'm learning about you here.
This has nothing to do with the argument, but okay.
I don't know. Okay, I just heard the horn going off, so we got to move on to our next argument here.
You're losing once again, so we're moving
my
on.
Gosh.
Got it. Okay.
Here's our argument for number three. Nintendo's ambitions in entertainment are weakening them as a video game company.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I have the for side. You have the against side. Here goes the for that statement argument. I like to start with another question. I like to start with a question to get your wheels turning on this.
Okay.
And
no quotes?
What is the point of having the greatest video game designer, developer of all time and saying, "Yeah, why don't you spend, you know, the last 10, 15 years of your career not making games, doing something else?" You have the greatest individual, you know, person who's ever done this, and he's not going to be doing that in his job. That's what's happened with Mr. Miyamoto. It's very much like, do you remember, this is something only the 90s kids will remember. You remember when Michael Jordan retired from basketball?
He played golf.
So he could play baseball for a year?
Oh, baseball. Yeah, baseball.
And it was like, oh, okay, that's a fun thing. Oh, maybe he'll be amazing at baseball. Maybe he'll be one of the greats at baseball either. And at the end of that year, we're just like, what are we doing? Can Michael Jordan just come back and play basketball and dunk on people? That would be great.
Awesome.
We always
really
like,
was bad at
baseball. Time
here. It's pretty bad at baseball.
That's like what it feels like we got going on here. And we know Nintendo is not a big company. They're in fact a very small company that grows at a very slow pace. And we know that this business of making billion-dollar movie franchises is not a small undertaking. This is literally the empire of Hollywood was built upon all of this. And at some point, it just becomes inevitable that the people who had been spending all of their time focused on making a great game, making a Nintendo quality game that nobody else in the industry can do, when you're doing spinning up more and more of these projects that tap into more and more of these IP, inevitably they're going to have to start spending some of that very limited time and resources, put some of that attention towards some movie or some TV show, and that means less time that goes into the game. Is this already happening now with Zelda and Mr. Aonuma, where it's like, you know, Mr. Miyamoto got this thing started, said, all right, here you go, Eiji-san, it's all on you now, and he just dumps this giant project. He's like, I'm trying to make like a half dozen Zelda games here, now you just gave me this? Thanks for nothing. You know? We also know, and this is, you know, Nintendo could be a victim here at some point. We know Hollywood, it's full of these master manipulators, these con artists, these people who just want to make a deal to rip you off for your money. No matter how involved Nintendo is, they're not in Hollywood. No matter how much money they put into the project, at some point they're going to get burned on one of these because they made a bad deal or they didn't read the contract close enough, or some Hollywood big shot tries to pull, you know, a power move on them. At some point that's going to happen. And then the fallout from their side is going to be really, it's going to be something to see. It's going to be a sight to behold. And right now, I'd say we're in the honeymoon phase for this. Mario movie was good, made a ton of money. It's like, all right, let's keep it rolling. Let's do the Zelda movie. All right, we're casting these unknowns. They're going to be great. Everybody loves them. But we know how this is going to end. It's going to end just like Marvel and Star Wars. There's too much stuff. It's not that good. And it's all because they got greedy. So just stay focused on what you do better than anybody else and just make some games. That's all. That's my only request. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I have a question for you, which is this. Do you think, or do you have a feeling that the games that they made after they got into, like, seriously into entertainment, so I would say, like, after the parks opened, after the, you know, the Mario movie became a hit, have the games gotten worse?
Well, I don't know. I think now we have some, you know, again, not to scoop our entire news segment, but we're going to be talking about maybe how now Nintendo's feeling about some of their characters. It's like, well, oh, what is the relationship between Mario and Peach? It's like, well, now previously it might have been like, well, we don't, you know, it is what it is. Like, people can come to their own conclusions, but now it's like, oh, well, now we need to make these definitive statements. It's like, is that Chris Meledandri breathing down somebody's neck? Or what is it? Are they feeling the heat from Hollywood over the Pacific Ocean? Like, what is this?
So, you didn't answer my question. My question is, are the games worse? Yes or no?
Depends on the game.
Was Zelda worse than before Miyamoto stepped away?
That game was in development for 7 years. Miyamoto hasn't been touching a Zelda game in 20
exactly.
years.
Exactly. You just proved my point. Your entire argument was based upon how the greatest video game developer, designer of all time has left video games to work on entertainment. So
well, there's more than one person who works at Nintendo. You can make more than one game at a time.
After the departure of Mr. Miyamoto from the Zelda franchise, let's just take that as one example. Were the Zelda games worse? Yes or no? I would say no. Were the Mario games worse after Mr. Miyamoto stepped away from the Mario team? Were they worse? Yes or no? I would say
actually,
no.
Oh, well, we got new Super Mario Brothers then, so arguably maybe they
But then
weren't.
We also got Odyssey.
Okay, we got one good, one not so good.
It wasn't that bad. It was not great, but it wasn't like,
I've heard
now we failed completely in
I've
games.
I've heard what you said about those games. Don't try and erase history
so,
now.
So let's just go back to that line of thinking here. So generally, we would say probably at a 95% accuracy rate that most of the games that were made after Mr. Miyamoto has left his main job as a game designer and went to do more entertainment things, they have been pretty good. Maybe some of the highest rated Nintendo games of all time, one could argue. So Nintendo is very good at sort of passing on that knowledge to the new, you know, era generation of developers. We know this is happening regardless of whether or not they're entertainment or not, because these people are going to be old and retire. So they're going to have to do some knowledge passing anyway. We've seen what the new developers can do in terms of new ideas and new thinking around how to make these games even better than ever before. And we've seen Nintendo do the very important job that this entertainment section of their business does, which is to bring in a bigger audience. Like, we just talked about how the all-important kids audience, they're not playing games the same way that you and I played games when we were growing up. They're playing games like Fortnite, Minecraft, you know, Roblox. They're getting into gaming in a different way. So how do you then entice them into the Nintendo ecosystem of games, which is not a Fortnite, not a Roblox, and not a Minecraft? You're going to have to entice these kids, especially these younger kids, in different ways. And the way to bring in a big, broad audience to make sure your brand is relevant is through movies that make billions of dollars, is through theme parks, it's through, you know, merch with all the Nintendo stores that they're opening. It is the only way to maintain relevancy. If they just stuck with making just games, they will pretty much be irrelevant because
of out of business again?
Out of business once again.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no. You don't want that to happen, do you?
Out of business.
Out of business. So I think, you know, they actually have to have this section of their business model, because this is the only way for them to like continue to grow versus we're just going to stick to the one thing where we're only appeasing our aging audience, us. And we saw recent data that like the people playing traditional games, especially Nintendo games, and engaging with traditional Nintendo IP in games like Splatoon and Mario and Zelda, they're aging out of this. And so you're going to have to bring in that new audience some other way. And if you don't have any other way to do that through entertainment, you just, those people that were playing your games will die. And so will the developers, and then they'll be out of business and dead.
Yeah. God forbid we actually make a video game that a child would want to play. That's a bridge too far. No, we're just going to sue them instead.
They don't want to play it. They want to play Roblox. Well, you want to play Christy, the garden, whatever,
you make a good point
Roblox.
About Mr. Miyamoto passing on his great wisdom. And I think, you know, for us, this podcast has never been more popular. We got to 100,000 subs. You've learned the ways of podcasting. I'm going to go indulge my personal hobbies of whittling small wooden figurines. So,
I'm so glad.
You got this, right? Just like Mr. Onuma, you got this, right?
He's okay. Got it. Good. He's got it. I have it too.
Moving on.
Losing again?
I should say, I gave you first pick at whatever side you wanted to argue. You got the easy ones.
I try to be very fair. Like, I try to give each of us, like, enough fours and against. Again, this is not representative of our actual opinions. We're just doing the good job of debating.
We have a very simple statement. Pokemon will never be good again. Never. Maybe they're next to go out of business. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, probably.
You are arguing for this, so please take us away.
Pokemon is in dire straits these days. They're just, yeah, oh man, they're on the shaky, thinnest ice possible. They're such a great brand, but they have the most toxic, crazy fan base of all time. And that is actually their major issue, is because they have to appease to this very vocal and slash insane fan base, they can never do the innovations they need to do for Pokemon to be good again. They're so dated in their thinking. They're so stuck in this place where they have to keep, you know, mainline Pokemon games a certain way, following a certain formula, because they're terrified of these insane fans, as they should be, because these people are nuts. And that is just like, you're basically in a cage of your own making, and they're just like trapped in the cage. They have no room for growth and new ideas. And even the spinoff games, you know, have been a little bit more in terms of innovation, but still not a perfect slam dunk in terms of changing up what makes Pokemon fun and interesting. And then beyond that, they just have major issues with the basics of like making a good game. Like, they cannot figure out the performance stuff. The games look really bad. They continually get hammered on, you know, why does this look so crappy? Why are these graphics so terrible? Why doesn't the game function? Why are there so many bugs? And little by little, they're whittling away the goodwill of both their insane core fan base, but everybody else that even more casually wants to engage with Pokemon. They just are whittling away that goodwill, and soon it'll be gone and they'll be out of business.
I don't know, Krista. Last time I played Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, that was in glorious 4K 60 frames per second, which the internet has told me is the only thing that matters of whether a game is good or bad. So you
bland
can't really counter
that. Bland and boring.
Them's
with
the facts.
With a battle mechanic that makes you want to fall asleep is also
4K 60. Perfect.
You know.
You have sadly fallen for the oldest trick in the book. You got sucker, which is thinking that the internet is real life. And it's not. So hopefully on this great vacation, I know you're by the beach, but hopefully you can find some grass and touch it, because I think that's what you need to do, because you've become concerningly disconnected from reality.
Okay.
Just constant tunnel vision into whatever internet forum, whatever thing that you're just connected to. I think you need to log off. But I did a bit of math, something you would never do. I did a bit of math, and I'm going to give you an interesting stat. I was like, how many games has Pokemon sold on the Switch? Because it seems like a lot. Do you care to guess? Between all the big Pokemon releases, not the little ones, not the dinky ones.
380 million.
On the Switch?
Yeah.
Well, that's just insane. No, it's 99 million copies.
Oh, boo. You even crack 100 million? What a failure.
Well, when you add in some spinoff stuff, I'm sure they're over 100 million.
Still.
And that makes Switch the platform where Pokemon has sold the best ever. So we've
but
got a case.
But isn't that just because the Switch audience is so big? It has nothing to do with
Hold
Pokemon.
Hold on. We got a case where the games are selling better than ever. You and I have talked a lot about how the Pokemon IP brand has never been stronger. So are these 90, these 100 million people, are these just suckers? Are these morons? Or are they just playing? Can you believe it? Maybe they actually like playing these games and you're just so plugged into some toxic feedback on the internet that you can't see what's actually happening.
But the windows look so bad on ZA. Clearly this is headed for failure.
It is true that with any franchise, some players are going to eventually age out and drop off. And I think that's kind of what we have happening with Pokemon, which is there are some people who are very painfully exiting Pokemon, maybe exiting games in general. Maybe these people will never play a video game again in their life.
They might be dying.
They're exiting. But let's not pretend that these are the people who actually represent the feelings of those 100 plus million out there who have bought these games over the last decade or so. And
I would love to see age data on Pokemon. I would venture to guess that.
They're getting old.
And how are they adding new people?
We talked about this last week. Anyways, so you talked about the mechanics not evolving over time, but they've actually given us exactly what we wanted with these Legends games. So now we can have it both ways. So if you're a purist and you like playing the classic Pokemon formula, we've got the mainline games, the different generations, and then we have Legends, which was Legends Arceus was one of your favorite games of 2022. I didn't forget that. And that's introducing all of these new innovations that we haven't seen before. I think we're both very excited for ZA. And, again, regarding what happened with Scarlet and Violet, I think TPC got burned. I think they got burned real bad. But I think they learned a lesson. So let's just move on and not get hung up on this for, year five of wringing our hands over Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. It's time to move on.
Can't wait to see the next gen game.
We're going to find 10. Out Pokemon Presents in February 2026. That's when we're going
to see it. Can't wait to see it.
All right. Our last debate.
This is a good one.
Donkey Kong Bonanza is better than Super Mario Odyssey. Now, we should say neither of us have finished this game yet. So maybe there's some bonkers thing that's going to happen that
this
might.
This is a spoiler-free debate, by the way.
And this is also spoiler-free.
Yes. We cannot talk about the
thing. I have the side of for this argument, so I'll get us started. And I got to say, for the record, Super Mario Odyssey is an incredible game. I'm not trying to take anything away from that game. I love that game. One of my favorites in the Mario series. But Donkey Kong Bonanza has really opened my eyes, and it made me realize that for almost 30 years, we've been playing Mario games that are they're great, but they're just kind of a more and more polished and evolved version of Super Mario 64, which was a game that I played and loved in 1996. So we're coming up on almost 30 years of here's the newer version of that. Here it's shinier, it's cooler. Maybe we have some small new thing. Now you're on a planet and you're slingshotting around with the gravity. But despite these spectacular fun games, that push to innovate and deliver something new, it's just not there anymore. And that's where Donkey Kong Bonanza really just like punched through a brick wall of,
literally.
Oh my gosh, literally. And it has us, both of us, questioning like, what, oh my gosh, like, what even is this? Is it a platformer? Is it an action game? I don't know what this is. That's great. It's simply just classic Nintendo at its best. It's just a great game. Don't worry about putting it in a box. Don't worry about putting it in a genre. Just play it and have fun. And I'm going to say something that's going to resonate with you. Mario Odyssey, amazing to play, but the setting, the characterizations with this weird wedding business, it was lackluster at best, disturbing at worst, right? Right? And with Bonanza, we have great characters. We've re-envisioned Donkey Kong. We have this great new take on Pauline. We're going on this great adventure through this creative world. We've got all these new enemies with the Void Company. We've never seen them before. And oh my gosh, we actually like them. We were so turned off by these kind of weird Mario enemies that we'd been getting through the years, the Brutals. It's like, oh, it's just going to be more of that. No, these enemies are actually cool. And again, they took Donkey Kong, who, like, was Donkey Kong a B-list IP? Maybe Donkey Kong was B-list. And now he's probably going to be, like, the character of the year. Like, when everybody does the game of the year stuff, it's like, oh, character of the year. Oh, it's Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong got re-envisioned. He got reborn. It's incredible. And it sounds like we're even getting this big Hollywood movie that might put Nintendo out of business, if what you say is true. And the great thing is, it's made by the Mario team. So maybe they'll get a taste of this. Like, oh my gosh, we can actually do that. We don't have to make Mario 64 with a fresh coat of paint again and again. We can do something new that's new and that people will love. And now we can actually push the envelope with the next Mario game. That's the best thing about it. And it's hard to admit because Mario's been at the top of the gaming food chain for 40 years. But let me tell you something, Krista. There's a new top dog in town and he's a monkey.
He's a Kong.
I like to define him as either a monkey or an ape or whatever.
He's a gorilla.
Okay.
You don't know your monkey species.
It sounded funnier when he said he was a monkey, but okay.
All right. I have a cheap argument for this, which is Mario Odyssey is the foundation that Donkey Kong Bonanza is completely built on. If Mario Odyssey didn't exist, then Donkey Kong Bonanza could not exist. This is the foundation of this type of more open world, exploration-based 3D Nintendo game. Yes, it uses a different character as the main character, but you could argue it's sort of like a palette swap of Mario Odyssey. Yes, they added some new mechanics with the destruction of the environment, but you could say that the same thing happened in Mario Odyssey where they added all those Cappy capture mechanics. It's like the same ideas. They re-envisioned some of those ideas in a slightly different way, but you know, I think it's no secret that when we and others first saw Bonanza, we were like, obviously this is from the Mario Odyssey team. Obviously this looks like a 3D Mario game, probably built on a similar engine, built by the same teams. So it's like one of those arguments where it's, yes, we can all agree that Donkey Kong Bonanza is an incredible game, but could Donkey Kong Bonanza even exist without Mario Odyssey? I would say the answer is no. And so you basically need Mario Odyssey as the foundation of that game. So that makes it better than Donkey Kong Bonanza. Thank you.
I don't really agree
hats
at all.
Hats off to me.
With what you
said. Multiple Cappy hats off.
With what you said
me,
about
the
it
winner
being
of
a,
this
a
debate.
Reskin of Odyssey. But I guess
palette swap.
Those are some
monkeys
words.
for men. Mario's for monkeys. Cappy for punching. Brutals for the Void Company. 3D environment to 3D environment.
What is going on right now?
I'm giving you the examples of how they're exactly the same.
You got some rum hidden in that beach house or what? What's going on
here? There's definitely rum here. It's
Did
not
the
hidden.
Pirates hide the rum under this house or what?
I had a mojito last night. It was delicious.
Oh, good
wonderful.
For you. That explains a lot. You're coming off a twister. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're so far off from reality that I don't even know how I can counter-argue that. I think you can't counter-argue it
because I'm right.
I think I'll let the comments do the work of that. But wow. We settled the hash of every hot Amazing. Gaming argument in the Nintendo community. It felt good. Felt good to get these takes off. Whether
therapeutic.
They were right or not. Yes. Wonderful therapeutic. Stuff. And the best thing is we've got a lot more of these. So if we ever want to do this again, there's no shortage.
Do you have one? People that are listening, if you have one, put it in the comments so we can like track them.
Yeah.
Your big argument, your big debate exactly. topic. I want to know what they are.
Yeah. All right, we're moving on to the news, which again, we've hinted at a lot of these news stories so far, but we can dig into these more. So this was an interesting one that was going off kind of over the weekend about Mario and Princess
Peach.
And, you know, do you remember, where was the original source of this? That kind of
Nintendo,
got lost.
Nintendo
was this a Nintendo Today?
Okay. Yeah, they had like a little image of them. And of course, no one can take a screenshot of Nintendo Today because Nintendo has disallowed you to do that. Awesome. But in the little screenshot, it says they are good friends that help each other whenever they can.
Yes, good friends and help each other out wherever they can. And this set off quite the, I got to say, hilarious couple days of conversation around this. And people were sharing screenshots of Peach kissing Mario and talking about all these things that happened.
Kiss on the cheek.
There's so many games where this has happened throughout the years. I did a little YouTube short talking about this.
I watched your short, yeah.
But I gotta let you go first because we haven't had a chance to talk about this. I gotta know what your take is on this.
I think this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I loved all the conversation around it. I read all the comments on the short that you posted, which I found to be absolutely the most entertaining thing ever. The people that are like seriously offended by this or like they're like really mad. That's the best one. It's like, I'm so mad that he's not. It's like, you have some personal stuff that you need to work out or something. Like you got a friend that you thought was more than a friend. And now you're like projecting this onto Mario. Cause I want to be there for you to tell me what's going on in your personal life. I'm so interested. But yeah, I mean, this is, I did not have any reaction to this in terms of like, I can't believe they finally confirmed it. Like, I don't care because it's stupid. And it is like, I think the thing that you said was so perfect is like, this is like a Looney Tunes universe where like none of the stuff is canon or whatever. And it's not like related in some complex big brain way because Nintendo doesn't think about story and characters and timelines like that. And it's just like characters, like, you know, fake cartoon characters being cartoon characters, like whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no like relationship canon here. But the best part was the people that got like really up in arms about this. And like, honestly, it's like, I think you might need to work out something in your personal life and not take it out on Mario and Peach. But you know, that's just me. It's like, oh, she baked him a cake. That obviously means she's his girlfriend. Let me tell you, if a girl bakes you a cake, it does not mean she's your girlfriend. If a girl kisses you,
I'm taking notes right now.
Take some notes right now. Coming from a woman.
What else do we need to
know? If a girl bakes you a cake, not your girlfriend, unless she says that she's your girlfriend, like explicitly to you. If a girl kisses you on the cheek, does not mean that she wants to be your girlfriend. I'm just telling you this. I kiss people on the cheek all the time. I am not dating like 100 people. If a girl writes you a letter, I think that was somebody. She wrote him a letter. She must be his girlfriend, not your girlfriend. So calm down, everyone. Hilarious stuff. I love it.
All right. So, yes, what I said in that YouTube short, if people missed it, was basically, yeah, like think of it as like this cartoon universe, like Looney Tunes is a great example where it's like you have some very loose definitions of like, all right, well, Luigi's the brother and they're in the Mushroom Kingdom and Bowser's the bad guy. And that's just kind of the trapping to let them go on these adventures. And at the end, everything kind of gets reset and then you're back to there's no long-term progress. It's like, all right, well, we still have these loose relationships, but whatever happened It's like, oh, you know, an anvil got dropped on the Roadrunner or on Wile E. Coyote's head. Is he in the hospital? No, he's fine. We're out doing the same thing all over again. And the thing that's great about this, different from some of the other series that do have like even more like serious continuity, like some of the other Nintendo games, like this is how you can do so many different types of Mario games. Like, oh, now we're doing a sports game, and now we're doing Mario Party, now we're doing all this other things. It's like he is just an avatar for these fun situations, and it's fun to put them with these very loose relationships of like, oh, I beat you in the Mario Party. It's fun because I'm Luigi and you're Mario and I'm your brother and I beat you. Like, you can't necessarily do that to the same degree with other series where this is all getting tracked a bit more deeply. And you know, different people can have different feelings of like whether they do or they don't. But I think in that case, like for Nintendo, that like that's a mark for them on the side of like, yes, this is good because this makes Mario an extremely flexible character for doing all these things. It's just like count the Mario games over the years. It's like impossible. There's so many.
Yeah, the flexibility. Like, we always joke around, like, Mario has had every single job, like, ever existed. He's been, like, you know, multiple different kinds of sports stars. He's been a doctor, you know, but it's not like some kind of canon. He's like a blank slate that Nintendo can project whatever mechanic, whatever fun idea onto. And then the other argument that I heard that was pretty interesting that, that is something that is new that Nintendo does have to deal with is these movies, right? People are like, oh, well, if you make a movie of, you know, these Nintendo characters, now you are having to give them more personality, more story. You know, we met Mario and Luigi's parents, you know, for the first time depicted in the Mario movie, right? We learned about Peach's backstory a little bit in the Mario movie for the first time. So they do have that to contend with now. But I think that even in the movie, they did a pretty good job making it like broad enough where they could project different things and ideas and characterizations onto Mario and Peach to continue to give them that flexibility. So yes, I agree that it is harder for them to do that now, to treat Mario like sort of like a cartoon character or like this avatar. But I think they're deliberately being careful about this and making it so that, you know, they have the flexibility to do what they want with Mario. I honestly think the people that run this Nintendo Today account, I think they're based in Japan. I don't even think they had any clue,
no clue
that they would set off some kind of internet firestorm by this very innocuous one line thing they put in this. It was probably like, this is a, it was along the lines of, this is a silhouette of Mario. Like, it was
it's
so
filler.
It's so factually filler to them that they had not a clue in their mind that it was going to be this huge thing. And I'm sure they're like, oh no, like whoopsie. And they're probably going to be a lot more careful about like describing the characters now in the future, because they probably were like, they had no idea this was going to happen. So I find that to be also quite entertaining. Because, yeah, for them, they don't think about the things that fans are thinking about at all. They have not a clue in their head. So for them, it's just like an innocuous statement. But then, of course, they see the reaction. And they're like, oh, no, we didn't mean to do that.
My weekend is ruined.
But so many reports have been generated about Mario and Peach's relationship status, which is so funny to me. Oh, my gosh. I think this is like the best. This is why I do love the internet. You know, the internet is very toxic and terrible. But these are the moments where I'm like, okay, I'm very entertained for like 2 days. I was reading comments and reading all the things, like all the fun like things people were doing. I'm like, okay, this is actually pretty entertaining.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what we were talking about in our debate was, you know, what is the influence of the movie side on the game side going to be? And last week we made the point of, you know, well, in the movie, Donkey Kong talks. He's Seth Rogen. But in Bonanza, yeah, He can't talk. He just makes weird ape sounds. So I don't know. I don't think we can say definitively like, well, because it happened in the movie, it's true everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's a tough place to be if you're going to make it seriously.
If they're going to make a Donkey Kong movie, are they going to, like, let's say they decide to put like Pauline into the next Donkey Kong movie? Is she going to have the same characterization as Pauline in the Bonanza game? Like, she going to be a singer, or is she going to be 13? Like, there is no, like, you know, 100% guarantee that that's going to happen, you know? And they might be doing something completely different with her character. And you're like, then you might be stuck in that loop of like, well, that's not what happened in Bonanza. And I don't think people should think like that, because that's not how they think. And they won't like put those pieces together. They're just going to like think about like, I'm going to make an entertaining Donkey Kong movie that's going to sit in this one time and space, and it just exists for the duration of this movie. It doesn't have anything to do with the Donkey Kong, you know, character canon, because there is no Donkey Kong character canon. So yeah, anyhow, this is a great example of how they don't think about this stuff, because they post something like this and then people go crazy and they had no clue that was going to happen. So take that as a proof point to know that they do not think about stuff like this. And I think it's highly entertaining. So it's pretty great.
Something else people got worked up over the weekend was the PlayStation put up this job listing for the actual senior director, multi-platform and account management, which really seems to be about managing cross-platform releases for PlayStation games. I'll just read a bit so everybody can understand what this is. You will play a critical leadership role in shaping and executing the global commercial strategy for PlayStation Studios software titles across all digital platforms beyond PlayStation hardware, including Steam, Epic Game Store, Xbox, Nintendo, and mobile. Accountable for optimizing title profitability, ensuring cross-functional alignment. Gotta have cross-functional alignment. That's key.
XFN.
High-performing team. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yes. So,
optimizing title profitability.
That's right. So, money. Yeah, this people really got worked up over this. They're like, oh my gosh, they're going to do what Xbox just did. I can't believe it. The console wars are over. It's over.
Don't we want the war to be over?
This is the end. No.
We want peace.
No, we want
peace. We don't want peace. We want war.
We like arguing.
Violence.
We like arguing.
We want to kill. Yeah. Got it. Okay. I thought we wanted peace. I thought it was peace on earth.
Right.
But no.
So you could argue, though, like, this has already been happening. So for several years now, they've been doing their strategy of putting their games on PC. A little bit after a good ways after they've come out on PlayStation.
Right.
And I think that strategy has been working pretty well for them. Those games always seem to find a new audience that they didn't have before. They always seem to perform pretty well. Sometimes the releases are technically a little busted at first, but it seems like on the whole, people appreciate this. And then, I don't know, last year we had that Lego Horizon on a Nintendo Switch. So like,
that's right.
It's not like this has never happened before. Xbox has been the one where like that's a big enough direct competitor that they've never gone ahead and done that. But I don't know. That's, to me, it's just like, yeah, this is just continuing what they've started to do.
Yeah. And then again, going back to our debate again about like the industry and finding new ways to keep the industry functioning. Like, you have to do this. There's no other option unless you, let's price the $100 games now, because unless you can get your very, very expensive prestige title onto as many platforms as possible to the widest audience you possibly can, you can't stay in business, like literally at all. So if you want, you continue to want like your, you know, Last of Us, God of War, Spider-Man level games out of Sony, this might be the only option. This might be the only viable option for them. So for me, it's like, I'd rather have these games. Like, I just want to play the games. I want to make sure that, you know, as many people as possible can play these incredible games, can afford to buy these incredible games, and these studios can stay in business. And this fake console war stuff, like, who cares? Like, as long as you're able to continue to get like amazing, you know, entertaining, creative games, like that should be the number one goal. And if that is the way to do it through this multi-platform stuff, then like, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. You can't just flush a game like Conquered down the toilet and be like, well, we don't need that money back. You kind of need to find a way to make up for it. Or it's like, oh my gosh, these games are so expensive. Like, the margin is razor thin.
It is.
Like, well, what else can we do with this to try and make back, either break even or get a little bit above that? Like, what else can we do?
Right.
And I think this is, you know, just a realization that so many companies are having around the industry. And I don't think it means that, you know, day and date, like the next God of War is going to be on an Xbox or a Switch 2, because a Switch 2 can't even run that. So I don't think like if anybody thought this was like, oh, it's a worst case scenario, like, I don't think it's going to be that. But do you have any like guesses for like how this actually, or examples of how this would actually play out?
Yeah, I think this PC model that they've been doing is a really good indication and test of how this could work. Like, what they've done in the past is they do have like a period of time when these prestige titles are exclusive to like a PS, you know, a PlayStation system or whatever. And then, you know, after, you know, it's usually like 6 months or so. It's not like a short period of time. It is a kind of a significant amount of time. And then it goes on to PC. I can see them using that same model. And again, I think it makes sense because you still have a way to give your most dedicated fans like a bit of, it's almost like they get early access for a period of time if they own a PlayStation console. And then later on, it's like the second tier audience of people that are like more dabbling in the stuff. They're like, oh yeah, I heard this game was great. I wasn't going to play day one anyway. I only own a PC. I'm going to buy it on PC. You might as well get the money from them to play it on PC versus playing none at all. So I honestly think this is a model that could work perfectly fine for them. They're just really expanding it out to more platforms. I think that this like fake / real sense that people have of like, oh, PlayStation and Xbox are like the two, you know, they're always going head to head, power to power, like whatever. Like, I think that's just going to be a thing that changes, you know, that the mentality of that just needs to change because Xbox is doing the same exact thing. So why wouldn't PlayStation also do the same thing? It's like, we got to get over it, you know?
Yeah, I think they see what Microsoft has been doing and that it has been very successful for them. I don't know that they would go to the same lengths. I think there's maybe a handful of games or series where they might say like, oh, that's maybe eroding the actual exclusivity advantage that we have. But, you know, just as an example of like how this could play out, there's a lot of retro PlayStation games. Like, you could do some sort of collection, like, you know, Ratchet and Clank collection, get it on your Switch too. Like, that sounds like a cool thing that the Nintendo audience would like, that would not completely blow up whatever Sony is trying to do on a PS5. Or who knows, maybe it's like, well, you know, we're working on Spider-Man 3, but hey, here's Spider-Man 1, you know, two versions back, because that game is now a little bit older. You know, let's just get that out broadly. So I think they'll come up with a way that feels similar to what they've been doing on PC that gives them still that exclusivity advantage that Xbox has kind of given away,
right,
and just doesn't seem as interested in retaining. I think Sony is, but I think they'll find a way to do it that's not too far off from how they've been doing it on these other platforms so far.
Yeah, they just released Patapon 1 and 2 on Switch too, so on Switch. So it's like that kind of like more retro PlayStation game. I think that if they can find a new audience with that, like, why not? You know, that's the way to recoup some money easily, because it probably didn't take a lot of resources for them to do a remake of those two games and bring it to a modern platform. And then it's not really like hurting their exclusivity, like the fan base, like, oh my gosh, you didn't release Patapon exclusively on a PlayStation? Like, who cares, you know? So I think that is a model that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Last story, and this is another one that we hinted at in our debates. So last month when Xbox did their big showcase, they had all the stuff on the Outer Worlds 2. And then afterwards it came out like, oh, by the way, this game is going to be $80. And I think a lot of people, ourselves included, were like, is that really the game to try and break the seal on $80? And then they also said like, yeah, you know, starting now, other games into the future, like we can consider them for being $80 as well. And well, it's been about a month and they have walked this back. So Outer Worlds 2 is going to be $70. And they have gone so far as to say that none of the other releases that they're doing, including Call of Duty this year, none of them are going to be $80. So that's a really interesting. I understood moving Outer Worlds to $70. I mean, Call of Duty seems like a game where you could actually get away with that. So a pretty interesting decision and change of heart from them.
Did their pre-orders just completely go into the toilet?
It has to have for that game. Yeah.
Yeah. So they freaked out, basically. They were like, oh no, one person pre-ordered this. We're screwed. We need
right.
To
they
drop
put
the price.
They put out this little message kind of in the tone of the game. Dear Galactic Citizens, we've received your SOS via Skip Drone about the pricing. As an organization devoted to making sure that corporations do not go unfettered, we at the Earth Directorate have worked with Redacted to revise the price of the Outer Worlds 2 to $69.99.
Yeah, yeah. Cute, cute little way to address it to make it very like in the game's voice, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they must have just seen some like awful pre-order numbers after that that showcase, and now they're probably scared off of it for right. a long time.
But see, I always thought they had a good counter to that, which is like, is it too expensive? Get some Game Pass. Get it on Game Pass. You just fold it into your subscription. They actually had the one talking point around that. That
true.
Like, well, yeah, you have an option. If you don't want to spend $80, here's the other thing that you could do. So interesting.
Nintendo really did that too, honestly, because they could have said, you don't want to spend $80 on Mario Kart World? Buy the bundle.
Get the bundle.
$50.
Right.
So you do need some other way. It's almost like, yes, people are, you know, Nintendo broke the seal on $80 games, but you also need this other angle because you know people are going to be mad and like freak out about it. So you need like another angle to spin it. So I wonder why they didn't do that. They didn't say the Game Pass message here.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been really, really bad.
You don't think they're getting rid of Game Pass, do you?
I've seen people suggest. I don't think anytime like immediate, but I don't know. They seem to be just completely rethinking their whole business model. So I don't know.
I can't say
that definitively.
I agree. I think that while I don't think it's going to happen like tomorrow, I think that they are really thinking through what's next for them.
Yeah.
I think Game Pass has been like a huge money bleed for them. So I wonder if they're trying to like walk back that message now, because you're right. It would have been perfect to say like, oh, you don't want to pay $80 for like this and Call of Duty, whatever, like Game Pass, like you can just do it there. But yeah. if they're not even like addressing that as a price option, I wonder why. That's just a little suspicious to me. But yes, man, rough stuff for poor Xbox.
We are going to wrap up with some questions from our Patreon community. Check us out at patreon.com/kitandkrista. First question today is from Pepsi Pepe. The announcement of the Switch 2 bundle of Pokemon ZA caught me off guard since it's not a special edition Switch, but then I began thinking about the release in general. What if, in order to continually meet demand, we see less Switch 2 special editions and more pack-in bundles? Do you think Pokemon ZA is the replacement for the Mario Kart bundle? And do you think Nintendo will launch more bundles with no special edition Switch 2s in the future?
I do, actually. I think, yes, the Mario Kart bundle, they always said that was going to go away at some point in their initial messaging. We read like the little fine print. It was like, no, this won't be like a forever thing. So it's kind of nice that they're able to replace that with a different bundle with a more, you know, whatever the current like must sell game is. And I think the Pokemon ZA bundle is like a great idea. Like, I feel like a lot of people will jump in for that. For sure. And you get like a little bit of a discount and everything too. So like from a, like a value perspective, it actually works really well. And yeah, I think special edition wise, like we may get some different colored Joy-Con, but I really don't think we're getting any kind of special edition for quite some time. When was the first time we got a special edition Switch? Was it Animal Crossing? No, it must have been before that.
I can't remember exactly, but you're right that it's not something that you need to do now. Like right now, there are still people who are like buying or planning to buy the original. Mm-hmm. So this is a good way. It's like, yeah, match it up with the game, the new game that you want, get a bit of a discount. That's a great way to get people in the door. And then a couple years from now, when there are still people who are holding out, it's like, all right, well, what if we did it with a Tom Nook on it? Is that something you'd be interested in? Or are they like, oh, now we've got this Zelda thing with a Triforce on it. Like, it's just a different offering. That's frankly higher effort for them. So you don't want to do it right away. But yeah, I think what they're doing now is great for where they are in the life cycle. And I think they'll probably continue to do that. But I do think we'll see the Mario Kart one returning. Like, we both think that's a Black Friday thing. We'll think that'll be back for that.
I think that'll fill the gap between other bundles they do.
Yeah. Like,
they might, you know, Pokemon's coming in October, right? Timed with the game. And then the Black Friday Mario Kart bundle might be back. And then early next year, maybe there's another game that they want to push and they can just bundle that. So it's actually a good model for them to, like we were talking about this, there's going to be like this huge percentage of people that have the original Switch that are saying to themselves, like, I will not buy a Switch 2 until this game launches. So whenever there is a situation where Nintendo thinks that is the game that will bring that person that is currently on a Switch 1 over, they may do a bundle situation. And that's like a great incentivizing thing for it's like, oh, okay, that was a game that I was waiting for. Now finally coming to Switch 2, I'm ready to like seriously consider this expensive purchase. And if I buy it now, like tip me over the edge, I'll just get it for like $20 less. Like,
exactly. I'm in,
you know, so that works really well for them. So I can see them doing it with lots of other fill in the blank game as they come out next, you know, into next year as well.
Next question is from Cam4. With us moving out of the launch cycle, it had me thinking about sales numbers. How often do you think about the fact that Switch 1 sold 150 million units, but Mario Odyssey only had a 1 in 5 attach rate? Maybe this is being dramatic, but it blows my mind that more people did not play that game.
Yeah, I think Mario Odyssey had a good hand that it was dealt, but also kind of a bad hand that it was dealt, where it was like it came out the same year as another incredible AAA Nintendo game, which was Breath of the Wild. And in some ways it did like get a little bit overshadowed, even though it was like spaced out over the course of several months. I think that a lot of people, even in the October timeframe when Mario Odyssey launched, were still like pretty focused on Breath of the Wild. So yeah, and I was kind of surprised, even in our like own very small community, we were talking about the recent eShop sale. We're like, oh, Mario Odyssey is finally on sale. If you haven't played it, and we like jokingly said like, ha ha, if you hadn't played this game, like you should buy it on sale. Like thinking in our heads, like everyone has played this game. There's no way. And then there's people in the comments that were like, yeah, I didn't play this game. I'm buying this in the sale. So I was like, oh, that is like pretty shocking that, you know, this is like a huge game that people have missed. And that's another just like an example of like how many options everyone has, even back in 2017 and earlier, you know, in where we are now, of entertainment, and how hard it is, even with one of the biggest games of all time, with the most, you know, famous video game character of all time, people could choose not to play it or miss it or something. So yeah, no one is safe.
It's a good reality check, because we just assume like, oh, everybody's played this or played that. But even Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which, you know, that's getting close to 70 million. That's still less than half of all the Nintendo Switch systems that have been sold. So, you know, and to your point on the last question of like, yeah, everybody has a different game that's on their radar. They're all coming to the system for different reasons. Some people more so. There's sometimes games that more people rally around, but not every single person is interested in the exact same thing. Yeah. And that's why Nintendo needs to release so many games a year. Cause it's like, well, if you're trying to build a library, these games are going to work for a lot of people. Some people might want something else. There's still the, you know, the oddballs out there who want these WarioWare games. So we've got to make these, and we need to get these third parties going too. So it's a very... Sometimes you don't even know. It's like, I don't know, we're just making these games. Hopefully this clicks with somebody. But yeah, everybody's got a different library in mind for themselves.
And also, when you have such a diverse portfolio like Nintendo does, like the Animal Crossing example is a great one. You know, we were there when this phenomenon literally happened, where people that never touched a Nintendo game ever in their lives started to play Animal Crossing, whether or not that was because everyone was trapped at home because of a pandemic is another, you know, point. But you got this audience, that this huge amount of people that came into the Nintendo ecosystem through Animal Crossing, that's never heard of a 3D Mario game, a Zelda game, a Fire Emblem game, a Splatoon game, a Mario Kart, well, you name it, they've never heard of it. And it was this big conversation that we would have at Nintendo. And I don't think there's actually an answer to this. It's like, what is their next game after Animal Crossing? And I would say 90% of those new people that came in through Animal Crossing, the next game is no game. Is I put my Switch in a drawer and tuck it away forever. Or I'm still playing Animal Crossing. Or the next game is the next Animal Crossing game that's releasing in X amount of years.
It wasn't Miitopia, which is what we were told.
That's we were told to make Miitopia the next Animal Crossing, which we laughed at.
No problem.
Like, ha, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But anyhow, you can continue to think that. Great executive decision. But that's the thing. Like, Nintendo has such a broad range of players too. It's like, yeah, you may have come in through a game like Animal Crossing. You literally have your brain has no idea that there's other things in this universe that you would like. And the thought of playing like a 3D platformer is completely out of your realm of, like, you know, possibility at all. So that's why it's a 1 in 5 attach rate. Yeah. So interesting stuff.
Last question's from Jason Ball 34. Some may scoff at this, but I'm seriously wondering, should Donkey Kong Bonanza be included when people rank the 3D Mario games? It shares a lot of DNA with Odyssey, as it's got the same development team, and DK and Pauline are very much part of the Mario universe. But it's also literally not a Mario game. What do you think?
Palette swap, right? Just kidding. That's a great argument. This is fun. It's funny. Since Mario is not a character, I don't know if he is or not. I haven't finished Donkey Kong. I don't know. Since Mario is not in the game so far, I would say no. We cannot rank this as a 3D Mario game because Mario is not in it. Unless Mario is in it. And we just don't know.
Great
yet.
Answer. Yes, I would like to finish the game before I say for sure. But so far, I would say no. I think we should rate this as its own thing. And hopefully,
yeah.
I think this will be the start of more careful management of Donkey Kong games. So hopefully we get more of these in the future. And then we can start to talk about, oh, yes, the great library of 3D Donkey Kong games, and not have to lump it in with other things
right.
that are a bit different. So I'm going to say no.
I would like it to be like 2D top down Zelda games, 3D Zelda games, 2D Mario games, 3D Mario games, 2D Donkey Kong games, 3D Donkey Kong games.
Yes.
I want that to be like, spin that wheel. Like, give me every 2 years, give me one of those.
Exactly.
One of those. Like, I would like that. That would be great.
Yes. Please keep
2D Metroid, 3D Metroid. Also put
yeah.
that in the mix too. I just
yeah,
want
yeah.
two, like one, like, give me like 2D, 3D, 2D, 3D, like that. Like, I want it to be like alternating, but for like all of these franchises all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you do that, Nintendo, please? Can you?
It's a lot to keep track of. Those are all of our questions. Thanks to everybody who sent them in. Again, you can check us out at patreon.com/kitandkrista, where for just a few dollars a month, you can get bonus Q&As every week, get the spoiler cast every month, get access to the whole library of, oh my gosh, every bonus Q&A, there's hundreds of those, every spoiler cast. We've been on a great run with these spoiler casts. You can get them
yes.
all.
Yeah, yeah. We're almost into our second year of spoiler cast, so that's going to be exciting stuff. And, you know, we talk a lot about this great milestone that we passed of 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. But honestly, that's a really cool milestone to just like be passed. But the actual people that are keeping this thing afloat is the Patreon folks. So if you want to continue to keep all of this afloat, then please join us on patreon.com/KitAndKrista. We are also on the socials. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and Threads.
Yes. And if you're watching this video on YouTube, you can please subscribe, give this podcast a thumbs up, and leave us a comment. And if you're listening on audio, you can also subscribe, give the podcast a 5-star rating, and leave a written review, if you please. Thank you very much.
We are going to shout out some wonderful Patreon community members, starting with Final Boss, Aaron Hash. I can't point to him because he's not here.
We talked about giving Aaron Hash, he graduating from his banana hat to some other sort of a hat. Maybe this week I'll go into the studio and decide on his new hat.
Mirrored 90s cap.
Okay.
Remember that? That was a fun look from back in the day.
That's an option. Yes.
All right. We're going to shout out some superstars. I'm going to do a chunk, and then I'm going to throw it to you, and you're going to do a chunk. Here we go. Ben Eichhorn, Maru Mayhem, Eigenverse, Kiss My Flapjack, Mike Chin, Roy Eschke, Switching It Up, _, VGM Life, Link the Hero of Wins, Angela Bycroft, Thomas O'Rourke, Kyle LaBeouf, Roberto Nieves, Frederick Wolf Conradson. You take it away.
We got Andrew Juhas, Chili, Simon, Crushuri, Master Discord, Ash, Ajay Kundlas, 40Gig, Travis Torline, Echo Ladare, That's So Linnell, MSM Pokegamer, Cameron, R Burns, Igami, Kit10K, Adrian, and Nathan Clover.
We just saw that the delightful Kit10K sent us a congratulatory gift, I believe, for 100K. What a sweet, lovely thing to do.
It's going to be incredible. I may know what it is. And I'm not going to tell you now.
I want to be surprised.
But it's cool. Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. I love our community. It's the best. Okay, here come the One Up Club. Aaron Burgundy, Aaron Robinson, AdCool2000, Aldo, Ali Alejandro, Orozco Borrego, Alex Blackwelder, Ali, Andy Peachy, Andy Robinson, Angel Aid, Aristrew, Astrovoid, Astrodev, Atticus Hodbin, Awesome 46, Axel, Bino, Bad at Smash, Bad Moon Horizon, Barnstorm, Bates, Benji B, Big and Gamer with a Y, Brad SF56, Brandon Kavopel, Brent Dennison, Brian Decker, Brovac Novak, Bruce Dash, Bucky Flores, Callsign Forte, Keshu, Chadir, Chelly Squirrel, Chicken, Chris Fisher, Crispy Saurus, Christina, Christopher Lay, Colleen Finnegan, Cosmic Titan, 718, Captain Alex, Zebroper17, Dagdaleo, Dallas E, Daniel S, Doxin, Delving with Difford, Debbie P, Doinko, Dre, Eccentric Tony, L. Hugo, Elite Peach, S-Barts 50, Furbound, Fernie and Jess Forever, Fox Deploy, Gamer Nerd 78, Gamers Like Anime, Garf the Wolf, Gartooth, Jeremy, Jin Wolf, Guilty Phoenix 42, Handheld Gamer, Happy Sloth, Quay Fam, I May Have Made a Mistake, Iris Marin, It's Your Boy J Hove, Yvette, J Rando, Jameson Eisenberg, James, John Ball 34, Joe Encarnacion, Joel, John Diaz, Jonathan Rowe, John Comboy, Jordan Hemmerly, Joseph Gunter, Joshua Clements, Juji Fruit, Justin Leminger, Jay Wolf, Kellen CPU57, Kawa 2796, Kevin Delane, Kevin Moreno, Kilo Kibo, Klefki to my heart, Christopia Party with me, KS3261, Kyle Gamer Barry Rookie, take it away!
Kyle325, Kyle Kretzer, Kyle R. Smith, Lazy Cat for Coffee, Leah Rao, Lex, Lightwood, Link9898, Lil Mikey, Linko, Lit, Lucas Pico, LuigiKid64, Luke Hayabusa, Luna B, Lynn, Macho Potato, Mad Dog 5981, Magnificent Easy G and Callie Marie, Mario Man 392, Mark S, Marky Man 64, Maverick Nate, Mecha Dragon 101, Megan, May Plus Leon, Michael Mazer, Michael O'Hara, Michael Wong, Mikey, Mr. Ryan 07, Motomania, Mr. Andy Pong, Mr. Beans and Dip, Mr. Disneyland, Mytran, Nasir, Nyef E, Nigba Reeves, Ninbendo 64, Ninja 11, Noah San, Oliver Wendt, Omega Index Card, Pangy, Paper Boat, Patrice Mallette, Paul Gale Network, Pepe Sandoval, PokeDigiFan20, Prime Factor, Prince Charmless, Punky, Rain Tech, Reckless Thomas, Rob M, Rob O, Romsky 113, Rox, Rusty Shackelford, Ryan Haas, Ryanetta, Sage Gamer, Sebastiano Garace, Sega, Sharif Jackson, Shinryu, Shiny Elizabeth, Slowbro, Schmiggles, Shump, Snazzle, Spacey Poo, Spicy Munchkin, Steel Citrone, Steven Johnson, Steven Rockoff, Pseudo Priest, Super Nerdy Human, Symbiote Spidey, Tales of Link, Tamer the Hammer, Tandem, Tay120N64, TealFox64, The Keggers, The Quiet One, The Sarah OT, The Shark Among Men, The Schmidt One, The T-Man, Thomas Alvarez, Three Rivers, Titanium Soldier, Tor Cheeks, Totally Joe Ed, Totemaro, Trajawi, Trevor Collins, Tug's Puppy Bear, Tuscoob, Tylander 16, Tyler Geis, Tyler McSwain, Vosh, Vij Michter, Vinny to the K, Viridian, VirtualBot, Waffles, WG Grizzy, Wicked Davey, William Brimer, Zachary S., Zalgaroth, Zapatty, Zero Link, and Zroin.
Wow. You did it.
Back to the beach for me?
No, wow. I have to edit this podcast first. And then back to the beach for me.
There we go.
It's only 11:36 here, so I have many hours in the day to go back to the beach. All right. We are going to wrap it up. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.